Okay, we're on our way with lesson four, How to Study the Bible. We're on page 21 of your notebook. So let's do a little bit of a review. We started out by asking questions, preparing us for Bible study. We asked the question, what is the Bible? And we found that it's quite a unique book. Secondly, if it's a unique book, it makes outstanding claims for itself. How do we know it's true? So we went through some material to determine the truth of the Bible. Then we asked the question, why should we study the Bible? What's the takeaway? And we looked at 19 positive reasons to study the Bible. Point four, who can study the Bible? We discovered that not everybody can. Why? Because you need some spiritual qualifications. First of all, you need a new regenerated heart. People like Friedrich Nietzsche are not really qualified to study the Bible. They can read the words, but they can't assimilate the information. Along with that new regenerated heart comes illumination by the Holy Spirit as He indwells us and does His teaching ministry in our heart, complementing the other teachers He provides. Thirdly, we have to be people of prayer. We have to do what the psalmist did and beg God, open our eyes to what You have in Your Word. We have to live a holy life, because if we're living a life in disobedience and in hypocrisy, the Scripture is not going to be very meaningful to us. All it's going to do is convict us, and that's about all we're going to get out of it. And fifthly, we need to be committed to spiritual growth. Studying the Bible is a lifelong endeavor, a lifelong endeavor. Secondly, we went over some personal subjective qualifications for studying the Bible. First of all, we need a hungry heart. We need to want to do this. If we don't want to do it, we won't, will we? If you don't want to eat broccoli, you won't, will you? Even though you know it's good for you. Okay? So we need a hungry heart. Secondly, we need a humble, teachable heart. Because there's a lot of concepts in the Bible that we find difficult to understand and difficult to accept. Because God's coming at this thing called life very differently than we are. So we need to be willing to learn what He has for us and to humbly accept that. So the third aspect is an obedient heart, to put into practice what we learn. And fourthly, a willingness to work with discipline and persistence for the length of our entire lifetime. Bible study is hard work. God will not spoon feed us. We get the most out of the Word if we're working hard to find out what God has for us. So then, point C, we looked at some intellectual qualifications. We need to be able to comprehend language and literature. So I told you, if you're new to this, start out at your level of language and literature with a language that is best for you, grammar that is best for you, and literature that fits your lifestyle. Secondly, consider memorization. And I suggested that while it's okay to memorize a verse here and a verse there, that really you're really memorizing the verse out of context. So I encourage you to memorize blocks of Scripture, paragraphs, chapters, because then you'll have the verses in context. Thirdly, consider meditation. Meditation from a biblical point of view is chewing over the material again and again, often in an undertone, reading it to yourself. So consider meditation. And then finally, strive for wisdom. Now I said develop common sense there because that's really the biblical definition of wisdom. Common sense, seichel. You know, just learn to make good decisions, decisions based on the biblical text. So those are some intellectual qualifications we need to develop. Now we are at point five, how to study the Bible. I'm giving you an algorithm, a step-by-step procedure to do this. First of all, prepare your resources. Start with basic resources like a study Bible, and then expand your library gradually over time. And when you've done this long enough, you will have books piled upon books. Unless, of course, you get Bible study computer program, where you can have literally hundreds of books, and it's all in this little box. It's all in this little digital form. Saves a lot of room, believe me. So I recommend Bible study computer programs if you're computer literate. And now, point B. The second step is master some critical concepts. As you come to the Scripture, you want to understand these critical concepts so that you will recognize them the instant you come across them, and it'll help you immeasurably. Like I said, I wish I had been exposed to these critical concepts 40 years ago. It sure would have helped me make progress a lot quicker and saved me a lot of confusion and questioning. So anyway, critical concepts in no particular order. They're all critical as far as I'm concerned. So let's take a look at progressive revelation. We talked about that earlier, and I brought this chart out on this slide, and we saw that as our information increases, we learn more about a topic. And in the case of the messianic person, we can pinpoint who the messianic person is. So we start in Genesis 3:15. He will come from any woman. In Genesis 12, he can more information. He will come from a Jewish woman. In Genesis 14, from within the Jewish family, he will come from Judah only. A fifth piece of information. From within Judah, he will come from the house of David only. And our final bit of information, from within the house of David. He will come from within the house of David, but apart from Solomon and Jeconiah. So you see our information on the topic has increased over time, step by step. And as we put all that information together, we can pinpoint who the messianic person is. It's Yeshua. So with that in mind, let's now take a look at some principles of progressive revelation at the bottom of page 21. Here's some principles to keep in mind. First of all, new revelation is consistent with the previous revelation. We're not doing reinterpretation here. We're not changing anything. You'll find the new revelation is totally consistent with the previous revelation. Secondly, new revelation expands our knowledge of the subject. So this will increase our understanding. Now, why God chose to do it this way? Step by step, over the centuries, adding information step by step, I can't answer. There's no clear-cut statement on progressive revelation in the Bible. The best guess that I have is that it has something to do with our faith. All right? It will help mature our faith, exercise our faith, something like that. That's the only reason I can think of. So, I can't answer the question why God chose to give us the revelation step by step. But He did. Question. Yeah, that's
progressive.
Well, that could be. You could view it that way, sure. But again, why? Well, I think it has something to do with our faith and our growth. Yeah. So progressive revelation, yeah, is something very clear in Scripture. Right. All right, so the new revelation expands our knowledge of the subject. Thirdly, the new revelation should be literally interpreted. Okay, we're not changing, we won't change our interpretive grid because the information is new. It'll all be interpreted the same. Fourthly, the meaning in the Old Testament is the same as the meaning in the New Testament. Again, we don't redefine anything. We don't reinterpret. We don't redefine. The meaning will be the same. And you'll find out why I'm harping on this in just a moment. Fifthly, most of what God reveals, He wants understood at the time the revelation was given. So we have to understand that revelation in the sense of the audience to who it was expressed. All right? He wants it understood at that time. But not necessarily all of it. And right there I think of Daniel chapter 12. Well, Daniel receives some more information about the end times and he can't figure it out. And he says, what does this mean? And God says, not to worry, seal it up. Seal it up, it'll be understood later on. But the vast majority of new information, we should assume that God wants it understood by the people to whom the revelation was given. Okay? And number six, therefore, the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, Tanakh, provide a solid foundation for the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah. It's the foundation. The New Testament rests upon a solid rock, the Tanakh. Now, let's take a look graphically. Now, here this you can go to page 21A, and for this these charts, I figured you would want them, so you've got them. If you don't want them, fine, you got them anyway. Okay. So I'm going to graphically look at the expansion of biblical revelation, just to kind of put it in a picture form. All right, we start with the foundation, the Tanakh, Genesis 1:1, the first verse. And then our revelation is going to expand from that point on. Now, what is below the line is the Tanakh, and what is above the line is the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. But our understanding is expanding over time. For example, Genesis 3:15, the first messianic prophecy. We work from there, and as we go through Tanakh up into the New Testament, we put all that information together, and we can identify Jesus the Messiah. Okay? So, but our understanding has expanded from Genesis 3:15. For example, Genesis 15:6, dealing with salvation by grace through faith. We follow that theme throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament, and by gum, there it is. Salvation by grace through faith. No problem. It's a very consistent expansion of our information. The kingdom, Genesis 49:10. Again, we follow the information about the kingdom. It expands up into the New Testament, and guess what? We have more and more information about the Messianic kingdom. I think of the book of Revelation, for example. That tells us about the tribulation period, and then we move into the kingdom. And, of course, there is some information that is unique to the New Testament. There are 10 mysteries found in the New Testament. Information that was not revealed in the Old Testament. Yeah, here's your definition of a mystery. Romans 16:25 and 26. A mystery in biblical thinking is not a whodunit. It's not something that you have to figure out. Okay, you don't even know it exists until it's revealed to you. And that's the idea in Romans 16:25 and 26. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus the Messiah, according what? According to the revelation of the mystery. You see, it has to be revealed by God, which has been kept secret for long ages. That's why God has kept it covered up for long ages,